This is Torch columnist James Caldwell, joined by Torch specialist Greg Parks for a discussion on the December 1st Raw from Washington, D.C. Coincidentally, our two teams are playing on Monday Night Football, wrapping up a game with the Texans on the verge of victory, barring a monumental collapse, which has happened this year. So, Greg, there might be hope for you yet tonight.
I don't think we're going to get two touchdowns in 39 seconds, James. Sorry.
Well, if you do, I will throw it on my headset and walk off the audio and just we'll call it a night.
Okay. Hey, that's fine with me. I think the Jaguars win in no audio anytime. No offense. I mean, I like doing it and everything, but hey, I'd rather do no audio than have the Jaguars be in the playoff hunt than doing audio and have them being 4-8. So.
Fair enough. Yeah. Yeah, here's a Raw show. They got a 3 hour show next week. They got an Armageddon pay per view in 13 days, I think.
Yep, the 14th.
So you will be there, of course.
I will.
So they got a lot of stuff going on here. This is kind of one of those typical WWE Raw shows, which is kind of in between one of those tweener shows where it's not. Promoting, you know, it's not a three-hour show. It's not quite a go-home show. So they're kind of stuck there. And, you know, I think this was a thumbs-up show, but it just seemed like it was kind of scattered. Scatterbrained a little and a little directionless at times. I think, you know, just a typical example of what I'm talking about was the Stephanie segment where she's promoting the three pay-per-view main event matches that are going to happen on free TV next week. And she starts talking about Triple H, and the graphic was for something else. I think that was kind of typical of this show. It wasn't wrong. It just didn't seem like it was flowing. But, Greg, why don't you go and talk about what you thought about this show overall and how they built towards Armageddon.
It was a fine show. I mean, you know, talking about building toward Armageddon, I think we've got two matches on the card that's been announced so far, so they're not going to do much building this week. The off week like this where it's not right off a pay-per-view or building toward a pay-per-view in the next week, I mean, that's essential for character development and angle development and stuff like that. And we got a little of that tonight. It was a good show. There's nothing that you could point to that's saying, you know, it was terrible or anything like that. But on the other hand, you know, there isn't anything that you're going to remember. I mean, just sitting here thinking about it, I can, you know, remember the main event and some, I guess, the IC title tournament matches and, that's about it. I mean, there was nothing earth-shattering on the show, which, I mean, you know, it doesn't have to do that every week. But there's no real big talking points I didn't think coming out of the show.
I guess the main thing would be kind of Chris Jericho seemingly forming a stable with Orton and Cody and Manu. And also, I mean, to me it stands out as the JBL Michaels program. That seemed to come out of nowhere. I mean, we saw the seeds planted last week, but this week it's like we skipped a couple chapters in the story and we jumped right to Shawn Michaels having financial problems, and is that why he's hawking DX merchandise? I mean, I don't know.
He looks pretty happy doing that. It doesn't look like he has any financial problems doing those promos or anything like that, or, you know, that kind of stuff. And the segment was good, but, you know, I think it felt a little too much like the Chris Jericho angle. I think, you know, hitting home and getting personal, I think it felt too much like a repeat of the Jericho thing. But, yeah, it was a great promo from JBL and everything, and if this was on SmackDown, it would probably be great, and if it was with somebody else that besides Michaels, it would probably be awesome. But I feel like they've just done this recently, so I guess it takes a little luster off of it for me.
Yeah, it did seem like it was like, okay, I thought we just went through this with Jericho, and now they're coming back to, you know, Michaels being a conflicted individual. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it until we see next week. And, you know, this is kind of the way it was last week where we're like, well, let's see what the JBL Michaels thing is about next week. And here it is, and we're still confused. I don't know what to make of it, but I'm intrigued. Again, it's one of those things, though, where the show, you sit there and you see a segment, and you're like, okay, I kind of buy it, but yeah, I feel like we're missing something. And that felt like the entire show was we're missing something. And maybe we get it explained next week with a three-hour episode, or maybe we don't, and they continue to just string along the audience. But I don't know. It just felt like there was something missing in every segment to explain, to connect the dots from last week. or at least connect the dots within the same show, like the Rey Mysterio angle. I don't know. The show started with Chris Jericho. He's in the arena concourse area, and he's kind of promoing Cena. While I think of this, what's your take on the way they're doing Cena right now, where he's only in the final segment of the show, and they're kind of saving him for that? This week, it wasn't quite the big dramatic return. This was just him in a main event match. But should Cena be on the show earlier, or are they fine holding him off until the final segment of the show?
Well, if we know anything about people inside of wrestling, it's all about the ratings. And I think holding Cena off until the final segment is going to kind of string viewers along, not only wondering when he's going to show up, so they'll be like tuning in maybe the entire broadcast, or just instead of flipping to another show and coming back at 10:50 or whenever Eastern time, and finding Cena in the main event, maybe the people in charge are hoping that they'll keep it on the entire show since they've already got it there and just wait for Cena to come on. Because, I mean, we know Cena's a draw, so I got no problem just using him in the main event segment. I know for me, someone who is not a giant John Cena fan, not getting him shoved down my throat in every segment a la Triple H, makes Raw a lot more palatable for me. So I've got no complaints about it, and I'm guessing the reason WWE is doing it is to get people to stay tuned in for the entire show to wait for Cena to come out.
Yeah, good point there. So Jericho's opening segment was him cutting the promo we all thought he would after he got the beat down last week, which is basically calling Cena a hypocrite, walking through the stands. Very, very Jericho heelish, the classic 2008 heel Jericho that we have talked about for the last 9 months or so. He basically just said, he told a story about his son, how his son was a big Cena fan. Then Jericho had to step in and turn off the TV for Raw because he did not want his son to be a Cena fan. But he's going to let his son watch Armageddon because he wants his son to see his hero, John Cena, take a beating and see the disappointment when Cena loses the title. So, great promo. I mean, just Jericho's great. Some might say, why are you involving your family in this? This is kind of Jericho's MO and his realistic storylines in the last 9 months. So kind of, if you have a problem with this, you have to have a problem with the Shawn Michaels program based on the involvement of Michaels' wife. So what's your take on this opening promo, though, and the tone Jericho set for the show by going after Cena with the whole family angle?
I liked it. I don't think the whole family angle is going to play a big part in it down the line. I think it was just maybe a talking point for this promo. I don't know if it was intentionally comedic or not, but the sight of Chris Jericho cutting a promo in the concourse, not only that, but the camera pans from the shirt to Jericho to find him standing in the middle of a ring of security. I found that to be hilarious, and that's something like the old Jericho heel would have done, the comedic heel. I thought that was something he would have done, but it worked here because, I mean, he took it so seriously, and he walked with them down the, down the stairs among the fans and yelled at them for touching him, and I just thought it was so Jericho, and the promo that he cut in the ring, about his son, like I said, it was a great promo. Jericho didn't really involve his family too much in the Michaels feud, so I don't have a problem with that. And again, I think it might have just been a talking point this week, as opposed to the focus of the entire angle.